Recording. Thank you for coming to the third Rococobra. So this week we're gonna sort of have an overview of some of the basic points and the basic themes in Rav Kook's Aroos HaTshuvah. So the first thing to realize is that for Rav Kook, Tshuva was a very major topic, a very major part of his life. In the introduction to Aroos HaTshuvah, which is taken from a letter I think he wrote to somebody, he says as follows. First source. For many years now, I'm being pushed by this inner spirit to discuss tshuva, to talk about it. All of my thoughts, everything I do, is centered, concentrated around the theme of tshuva. Tshuva takes up. The larger portion, the majority of everything in Torah and life. The source sheets are over here. I'm sorry if it's not so clear. Upon tshuva, all of humanity's hopes and aspirations are built. So this is a very riveting introduction to Aroos HaTshuvah, and most people who give shiurim on Rav Kook's approach to tshuva start off with this passage. And the reason is obvious, because generally speaking, we assume tshuva is a reaction. You do a chait, you're a bad person. So God's nice to us. He told us, if you're a bad person, you did a chait, you have to react in a certain way, and you have to do tshuva. If tshuva is reactionary, if tshuva is something that's supposed to fix a chait, and that's all tshuva is, so Rav Kook, who didn't do chatam on a regular basis, wouldn't say all my thoughts are centered around tshuva, and tshuva wouldn't be the chilak yoter gadol of chayim Torah and the basis for all of humanity's aspirations. So it's clear we're talking about something which is a bit broader than just a reaction to a chait. The question is, what is it, and why is tshuva so important, and how does that relate to the regular run-of-the-mill tshuva that we talk about during Chodesh Elul, which is tikach chait. Great. So in order to understand Rav Kook's approach to tshuva, we sort of have to understand Rav Kook's approach to God, the world, and the relationship thereof. Most things from Rav Kook end up getting back to that. So according to Rav Kook, which I think is basic Chabad, Kabbalah, or Kabbalah Sari, or whatever it is, which is the stuff I don't really know about so well at all, basically, God and the world aren't supposed to be two separate things. Everything in the world has some spark of divinity. Everything in the world is just some giloy in some other sense, hiding godliness behind it. That's point A. Point B is that even though God created the world in that way, that everything should be part of him but be separate, because of that inherent connection, because everything in the world is connected with Hashem, from the moment of creation on, the world is marching slowly but surely back to that reunification. Every moment in history, every moment in time, the world continues to advance back towards reuniting fully with its creator, back towards reuniting fully with Hashem. And that's the way Rav Kook saw the movement of history. Everything in the world is working in towards the advancement of the world as a whole, elevating its ruchnius and helping it connect back with Hashem. And Rav Kook saw this everywhere. One of my favorite passages where this comes up is the Rav Kook's passage about evolution. Rav Kook lived in the late 1800s, early 1900s. The theory of evolution was initially developed and further developed during his lifetime, and he took it not as a challenge, but as he says, as one of the best proofs towards his view of religion. So this is the second passage in which comes from Aroos HaKodesh. It's entitled Torah Tzitzkot, the doctrine of evolution. Here's what Rav Kook says: Torah Tzitzkot, the doctrine of evolution, ha'olaket v'koveshet et ha'olam ka'it, that is now conquering the world, meaning scientists, philosophers are all discussing evolution. Himatemet l'razei olam shal Kabbalah. Yoser mikol taros ha'filosofios achiros. This doctrine fits better, jives better with Kabbalistic circuits of the world than any other doctrine in philosophy that's known to man. Again, evolution is not a challenge, it's incorporated, integral part of the religious worldview, something we'll discuss at a later date. Ha'itzpatzkot, this evolution, ha'olaket v'maslol shahitadot, that goes in an upward spiral, that everything is constantly improving, constantly advancing, it gives the optimistic basis for the world. How can you give up hope? How can you be depressed? How can you give up hope for humanity and the world if you know that everything is constantly getting better in a factual, natural, biological way? When you get to the center of evolution, you see godliness there. You see that the process is being helped along by Hashem. In other words, Rav Kook saw the process of biological evolution, of physical evolution, of social Darwinism, if that's what he's talking about, as a mashal, as a physical parallel for this spiritual phenomenon. The same way that when God created the world, he created the world at point X, and from a spiritual perspective, every second, every moment, the world is improving, the world is getting better, the world is coming closer to Hashem. The physical parallel to that is that everything in the world is really physically improving, physically advancing. We're more complex than the monkeys are more complex than what came before that. Whatever it is, but things are constantly advancing, things are constantly improving. Great. So that's Rav Kook's basic theory about God, the world, and the relationship thereof. What's interesting about Rav Kook is that this process of when the world is working its way back towards Hashem, where things are constantly being uplifted, things are constantly advancement, that process is the what he calls tshuva. Look in the third source. Orat HaTshuva, this is Parakei Piska Gimel. The world as a whole must, by necessity, reach complete tshuva. There's nothing in the world that's stationary. Nothing stands still. The same phrase. Everything is constantly developing. Everything is constantly advancing. What is tshuva? What is the basic definition of tshuva within the worldview of Rav Kook? It's this cosmic process. The fact that everything in the world, from both a spiritual and a physical perspective, is constantly improving, constantly advancing, and constantly growing on itself towards more closeness with God. It's that process of the cosmos as a whole, physical, spiritual, every single part of the world, that's what's referred to as tshuva. And one of the passages here, and I don't have it on the sheet, Rav Kook goes through this idea. He references the Gemara in Pesachim that says that there are a number of things that were created before the world was created, and one of them is tshuva, tshuva kadma le'olam. And there's some pasuk in Tehillim that says something of that sort. I forgot what the pasuk is. We say it every Shabbos. Whatever it is. And there's some pasuk that the Gemara quotes to prove that Hashem establish a principle of tshuva before creating the world. So I think the way most people understand the Gemara is just that tshuva is a necessity for the world to exist. Because we're imperfect, because we're going to sin, Hashem has to give us a way out. Hashem has to give us a way to fix ourselves in order for us to come back. And that's why tshuva is a prerequisite for the world being created. For Rav Kook, it's much more than that. Tshuva kadma le'olam, because tshuva is the process, it describes the process which the world is supposed to take. That's the whole point of the world. The point of the world is this process of tshuva, to go from the moment where the world is created in point X, which is a certain distance from God, constantly developing, constantly advancing, even accelerating at times, towards the ultimate reunification, when Vaya Hashem Echad Ushma Echad. That's the process of tshuva. And that's why tshuva kan melilam, because that's the whole purpose of the world, that sets the goal. That's what everything is created for. So in a very broad sense, that's tshuva for Rav Kook. And the way I heard it once described by a friend is that once you have this yisod of tshuva from Rav Kook, that the rest of Orat HaTshuva, everything else that he writes, is Idak Zil Gemor. Everything else is just ramifications of this general idea. Tshuva is not a reaction to sin. Tshuva reflects the movement of the entire cosmos towards reunification with Hashem. And if you think of every aspect of our tshuva within that perspective, many things are going to be shined on with a new light, as Rav Kook put it, and you're going to have many ramifications, many nuances about tshuva, which you wouldn't have otherwise. So I think for the rest of this kavura, next 15 minutes or so, I'd like to just go through some of the ramifications in Erot HaTshuva, some of the themes that are there, and we'll, I guess, eat like a little more. As you go, if people want to go through Erot HaTshuva, just go through it with this in mind. A lot of things will become clearer. So ramification number one is that tshuva is not just about man's sin. Tshuva includes much more than that. The scope of tshuva has to be expanded. So this is the fourth source. Let's look at it together. Aidei tshuva hakol shav lelokot. Through tshuva, everything returns to Hashem. Aidei mitziyot koach tshuva shor b'olamim kulam shav hakol mitkasher b'mitziyot hashlimot lelokot. Through tshuva, everything, not just humans, return back to Hashem. Aidei arayinot shel tshuva. This is talking about feelings and thoughts of humanity. That tshuva doesn't only affect man's sins. Tshuva affects everything in the world, and tshuva affects every single aspect of man. If you want to go through the process of tshuva in Chodesh Avo, if you want to go through the process of tshuva at any other point, you can't just focus and make a list of your sins. I did X, I came late to shul one day, now I have to do tshuva for that. Tshuva includes every aspect of humanity, every emotion, every thought. If you read a book, and you have it elicits a certain emotion, that emotion has to be channeled towards this cosmic process, towards the process of coming back to Hashem. If you're walking in the street and you see something, and a certain thought comes into your mind, again, everything is part of the world, including every aspect of humanity, has to be put in that perspective, has to be viewed as something which could theoretically help the world advance towards the reunification with Hashem. So komak shavot harayonot vatayot, retonot vargashavot, every aspect of man, in terms of his personal life, in terms of his mental, internal life, becomes viewed through this perspective of tshuva, not just chait. A second ramification in terms of the scope is that tshuva is not just about individuals as people, it affects society as a whole. That's the second passage, it's the next piska. Also, if people have questions, feel free to ask. It could be I'm speaking in high and lofty terms that even I don't really understand what I'm talking about. So, yeah, Jonathan.
How would you distinguish this concept from just the standard idea of Kol Ma'asecha Yishev Shemayim?
It's one perspective in Kol Ma'asecha Yishev Shemayim. We'll talk about it afterwards. But there are Rishonim who limited that statement or interpreted it in different ways. Rav Kook is just reading a Kifshuto, which some Rishonim already did. Hatshuva Kol HaKlalit She Yiloy Olam B'Tikuno. The general tshuva, which again is this cosmic process, an individual tshuva of each person, it's all the same thing. It's all the same content. It's all the same idea. Here's another added point. All of the cultural advancements, the civilization, through which the world leaves its state of ruin. Social order, economic order, which are constantly developing, constantly advancing. Together with that, the movement of economic history from a time period when everybody, when there was a king who owned people, and everybody else were his avadim, to a time period when there's more economic equality, more economic freedom, where the economy is more fair, it represents Hashem's light more in the world. That, together with doing tshuva, for tying your right shoe before your left shoe, together with diktukei sofrim, we do those chasidot, your term of flagot, kulam osim chativa akat, v'ina minutachim zamiza, v'kul akat atar slikin. Tshuva is not just about individual people, and not even just about every aspect of individual people. It's about society as a whole. As society progresses from point A to point B, as it progresses through the movement of history, and hopefully it's advancing, hopefully it's developing, hopefully now we have a more moral, more just society than they did 1,000 years ago, that as well is included in tshuva. And if the avoda included an individual's avoda of tshuva as well, is to take these things into account. Cultural advancements, so advancements in civilization, advancements in economy and the social order, all of these things cannot be separated from tying your left shoe before your right shoe, or things of that sort. Tshuva, or the avodah tshuva for everybody, has to include the entire range, the entire spectrum. So that's ramification number one, in terms of the scope of tshuva. It includes not just sins, but also every aspect of man's internal life, and also societal life, the advancement of society, and working to advance society as well. So that's one. A second ramification, which again is, all these things are going to be intertwined, because they all stem from the same idea, is as follows. Of course, that's a very particular way of explaining and describing the effects of chait. He does this in a couple of places. But one thing, at least for me, that stood out for Rav Kook is the following passage. It's the fifth source, Avot HaTshuva Perek Yud Beis. So there are two pesukot, one after the other. It says, Kol chet, apilo kal shebekatayim, matzpiya bekeref ha'adam sina le'izavriya. Vayidei tshuva chozeret ahavat ha'ir. Every sin that you do, if you tie your right shoe before your left shoe, it's going to cause you to hate something, hate somebody, hate something in the world. And tshuva brings back the ahava, brings back that connection. A second pesukah, basically the same idea. B'shasha adam chotei hu ba'alma tepiruda. When a person sins, he's in a world of separation. Everything is distinct, everything is separate. V'az kol prat uprat umei b'fnei atzmo. Each detail stands independently on its own. The rahu ra b'fnei atzmo, bad is bad independently. Yishal erach ra b'fnei atzmo, it has independent value, and it's going to be mazik you. And he goes on to say, when you do tshuva, so everything in the world, including the ra, ends up being seen in a new light, in an interconnected light, where every single part is necessary for the world to advance to the ultimate place. So this idea that chait is something that separates you from the rest of society, the rest of the world, the rest of the cosmos, and tshuva, part of tshuva is seeing the interconnections, seeing the connectedness in the world, stems from this general theory of Rav Kook. Everything in the world as a whole, the entire cosmos, including each individual person, are part of this cosmic process, part of this process of reunification with Hashem. When somebody does a chait, he's taking himself out of that process. The rest of the world is constantly advancing towards higher levels of spirituality. He does a chait. He does something that upsets, that's against the natural order, that's against the rest of the cosmos is currently involved in. Therefore, he's going to be the Alma de Peruda. He's not going to see the interconnectedness between different parts of the world. He's not going to see the world as one big sheet of divinity and godliness. He's going to see there's X, Y, and Z. I'm me, you're you, we're different people, and that's it. Only when he does tshuva, meaning he steps back into that natural order, he steps back into his place in the universe, which is helping everything advance towards that ultimate state of unification, so then everything is once again reunited. He's together with the rest of the universe, he's together with the rest of the cosmos in their process, in their movement towards reunification with Hashem. And it's going to help you see things in an interconnected way. You're not going to see yourself as being so distinct from everything else in the world. And this is not just, that's not just theoretical. This idea also helps towards the process of tshuva. A motivating factor of tshuva for Rav Kook is the following idea. It's the next source. Hatava olami b'chol yitzir prati. The natural world and every individual creation. Ha'historia anoshet b'chol ish yuchidi. Human history in each individual person. U'ma'asav and his actions. You have to view all of them in the same lens. You have to think about everything at once. Baal Prokim Shonim, just different chapters of the same general story. The us, if you think of yourself as being part of this process, think of yourself as not just an individual, what did I do wrong, how can I fix what I did, but I tied my right shoe before my left shoe, and that means that means I violated Hashem's word, and therefore this tree is going to be less green, and therefore the world as a whole is going to be one step away from Hashem than it could have been. That is a motivating factor for tshuva. For us, the maharet ha'ura shaladeya mevi'a lidei tshuva levo. seeing yourself, not just as an individual, but seeing yourself as part of the universe, as part of this cosmic process, as interconnected with everything else, that encourages tshuva. That becomes a motivating factor for tshuva. So as opposed to just focusing on yourself, you have this broader perspective where you're just part of this cosmic process. That's, according to Rav Kook at least, that's going to be a motivating factor for tshuva. So far we have two ramifications of this idea. Number one is the scope. Number two is how to get to tshuva. What are the motivating factors?
Am I supposed to actually try and help the development of that process, or am I just that process happening on its own? I'm trying to tap into it, or being aware of it is significant. Am I supposed to, you know, if evolution is part of it, sort of developing society, is that part of his?
Yeah. Well, it's not going to get there today, but it's probably going to be a different thing. But that's definitely part of it. Meaning these cosmic processes that are going on, you're not supposed to be a passive observer, just aware of them. But part of the tafkid of a person is that people will have the ability to affect the universe, nefesh hakayim-like, and therefore we have a responsibility to help Hashem advance these processes along. And therefore, for Rav Kook, if you help civilization in some type of way, that's a kiyum in tshuva. A third idea, which also comes up a number of times in Arutha Tshuva, which again is sort of intuitive and very very connected with the other two ramifications, is tshuva from nonsense. Let's read this last passage together. It says, "Kishim shetzrikim la'alot et amidot makshavot ha'ra'ot b'sharshan." Just like you have to do tshuva from the bad stuff, in order to fix them and to sweeten them, just like if you do tshuva from a chet, that's intuitive. You do a chet, you tie your right shoe before your left shoe, you have to repent for that. So too, you have to do tshuva for the small thoughts, for the small emotions. And he says, just like that's going to help you, it's going to help everybody else as well. And that's the tshuva of tzaddikim gemurim, that they're constantly elevating their thoughts, elevating their emotions. So what does this mean? What does it mean to do tshuva from a small thought or a small emotion? So it could be understood differently. The way I understood it, at least, is that, so let's take a very practical example. Let's say you're studying for a test. It happens to me all the time. You're studying for a test, you're cramming, you daven before the test, say parakat helem, that you'll do well on the test. Great. So you're whatever. Meaning you have a need. It's a certain goal you're trying to aspire to. You want to do well on this test. You daven that the test should do well. That you should do well on the test. So that's a makshava katana. It's a very limited, narrow thought. You have a certain goal. You have a certain need. You want to do well on the test. You're davening for that. But according to this passage, if I understand it correctly, the tshuva you should be doing for that is that you should be constantly thinking of the why question. Broaden the issue. Why do I want to do well on this test? I want to do well on this test so I can get into a good graduate school. Why do I want to get into a good graduate school so I can get a good job? Why do you want to get a good job? Presumably, so X, Y, and Z. The ultimate answer of every why question, if you broaden it enough, should be to help the world advance within the cosmic process towards reunification with Hashem. If you think about it enough, every why question, the motivating factor of everything we do, should be helping this process along. That's the ultimate purpose of the world, tshuva kadva diola. So the same way one has to do tshuva for his chataim, if you actually do something wrong, from makshavos ketanos and hargashos ketanos, even though there's nothing inherently wrong with them, you're doing exactly what you should be doing. You have a need, you have a desire, and you daven for it. Still, that's not enough. Tshuva, part of the obligation of tshuva is to broaden the horizons, to think in the larger spectrum, to see yourself and your needs, your particular desires within the broader world, and within the needs of the rest within the process the rest of the world is doing. And Rav Kook says the last two lines. This tshuva is something that's constant. It's something that takes a lifetime. Even if they don't do any chataim, even if they're perfect in terms of their ma'aseh and mitzvos and ma'aseh averos, still there's this constant need of cognizance of the broadening of the horizons in order to put everything we do within this broader cosmic perspective. So today, basically, we went through Rav Kook's basic theory of tshuva and three ramifications, all of which are broadening tshuva to something other than just you and your chatayim, but you and everything about you, you and society, you and your makshavos ketanos. Next week, I think, is Rosh Hashanah. The week afterwards, maybe we'll do some stuff by Rav Kook, but in Onerot HaTshuva, which isn't about broadening, but about individual people. And you know, as we said last week, Rav Kook was all about connecting the kolam and the pratim. So this week was about the kolam of tshuva. These are the general perspectives, this is what's going on, and you should be connecting to these general cosmic trends. Rav Kook didn't ignore the individual person and his experience of tshuva, the way he experiences things, the way he should be doing things within his own life, and hopefully next week or in 2 weeks we'll focus on those passages. Thank you, and see you next time.